and welcome everyone. Let's welcome each other in song. Lord, we come before thee now, at thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in
vain? Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Southwest Central's live service. And to our Facebook friends, we say hello. To those that are at home today, make sure you have bread and crackers nearby, and we are there in hearts and spirits with you. Today I'm excited just because it's the Lord's Day. And I know Kay is watching online, and normally she would post, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So let's do that today.
We need it. A little bit of teamwork this morning. Let's stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So let's sing praises of the Lord, you faithful people.
Lord, on thee our souls depend, in compassion now descend. Fill our hearts with thy rich grace, tune our lips to sing thy praise, tune our lips to sing thy praise.
So now we'll have our call to discipleship. I'll read the leader part, and if you can respond in unison. Jesus called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said,
"Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
To bear shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
This morning's scripture comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she got no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him. But he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat.
Will you all pray with me? Father, we come before you today with happy hearts and hearts that are aching for our community as we continue to deal with this pandemic. I ask that you, as my friend Steve has so often said, to pour into me the gift of preaching. I ask that all of the people out there who are hurting, who are striving to look for a cure, who are looking for healing, that you provide them with confidence and hope that it can happen. especially the ones who have been suffering for years like this woman. And most of all, Lord, because you know my heart, I ask that you lay a hand on all of the healthcare workers. You know our hearts, Lord, and many of us are struggling just to keep up. And you know that we want to be able to heal these people. We want to be able to do as much as possible, and we need the hands to do it. So thank you for making our hands strong and nimble. And thank you for being there for us. In your name we pray, amen. So I first wanted to start off with just a huge thank you for everyone who was praying for me. This text became so much closer to me after I was isolated and quarantined, and there were several people here in this room and online who were checking in on me and making sure that I was okay. And I've been honest with a lot of people about my experience. My symptoms were mild, but my anger was way worse. And I think it's just because after a year and a half, I was hoping to avoid this as a healthcare worker, and especially hoping to avoid it for my mom. So Alex's mom is improving. I was able to get her oxygen down a little bit yesterday, and she's doing more. So I just thank you all for the blessings you poured upon me. And I'll try not to cry about it, but I appreciate it so much. So due to being at home, I had quite a lot of time to mull over this story within a story, though very little time to jot it down on paper, unfortunately, due to all that was going on. So I ask that you please bear with me. Last night, I wrote it all in haste, as I was worried that I would not be coherent enough, since I worked last night. And this is a warning. You're going to get a way more raw version of me, as I have never done well with sleep deprivation, even with a newborn baby. So I did my best to write this all down so I would remember what I wanted to say, and you wouldn't get zombie nurse. It's the worst kind. As a side note, just as we did now, please take time to pray for our nurses and our healthcare workers. Just to give you an example, last night, we transferred one patient to telemetry to monitor his heart more closely. We titrated one patient to high-flow oxygen as she struggled to breathe. And we stay close to the rooms that have patients who are confused or combative, at much risk to ourselves. Amidst all of these needs, there's also COVID, which is threatening to surge our hospitals again. My hospital opened another COVID unit this week. And above all that, we have many, many overtired healthcare workers who are questioning their calling to serve. And it breaks my heart. But I'm going to be there as much for them as I can. So to my team out there watching, now or later, we'll always be there for each other, and I'll be there for you. So let's get down to some of the thoughts I had about this passage, and hopefully they flow well. I did get time to appreciate the irony of being at home on isolation and sick, much like the woman who becomes the center of attention of this story. I also had time to reflect how, as a grown woman, I see this story now. Initially, I found myself focusing on the religious status of Jairus. I think this is because we have so many stories in the Gospels where religious leaders try to make it about the law. In reality, not much is said about Jairus at all, except for the faith he had that Jesus could save his precious daughter. And let me be clear, this story has nothing to do with breaking the law. It has everything to do with life, and even more significantly, the life of two women. Most importantly, the account shows that Jesus can heal when he didn't even initiate it. And it also shows that he can raise someone back to life when he didn't heal in time, Jairus' daughter. So as we enter the story, Jesus crosses back across the lake after giving the man who lived in the caves a new life entirely, which I think is amazing. He's met by a crowd and Jairus, who are begging for him to save the life of his daughter. He's desperate. Falling to Jesus' feet, He states, heal her so he can live, so she can live. Jesus goes with him and the crowd follows, pressing close together, perhaps in excitement of seeing Jesus the healer restore this little girl to life. Amidst the crowd, we have a woman who has had internal bleeding for 12 years. The little girl that Jesus is going to heal is also 12 years old, which occurs to me that as long as this child has been alive and well, life has been seeping out of this woman. I'm going to be real with you here. I have chronic illness, and I've probably had rheumatoid arthritis since I was about 16 or so, if I'm completely honest with myself. But it really reared its ugly head after Nora was born. As I'm reflecting on that, I wonder if this woman also had her chronic illness due to childbirth. It's possible. Many times, I feel isolated and don't want to say much about how I feel, specifically about the pain, because most of the time, I'm in some sort of pain. Why would anyone want to hear that? I bet she felt that way too. Many times, I feel misunderstood by doctors. She definitely did too. For her, there were no answers. Sometimes I cancel plans at the last minute because I can't do it. I have no more energy. Luckily, I have friends that are very understanding about that. Or maybe I need a few days to recover from a really hard shift at the hospital. Sometimes I hibernate and I really need that. For her, I bet she was isolated on purpose because she may have even been considered unclean. I bet she could never have plans. I wonder if she ever got to see her baby grow, if she did have a child. Her life is described in several verbs, several past participles, described as, quote, having not benefited, having gotten worse, having heard about Jesus, and having come from behind. She is in the past. There is no life. There is no possibility of moving forward or getting better. Her fear and desperation grow into faith. This is an amazing moment. She thinks, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. She approaches the crowd and makes her way through. And here comes the long-awaited main verb. She touched the hem of his garment. In that moment, she has been pulled out of the past into the present, and she now has hope. She can feel within her that she has been cured. And she does not have a passive rescue. And in that, in itself, is part of the healing. So I want to direct your attention to the slide on the screen. This painting is called Encounter, and it's in the Duke and Altam Chapel in the city of Magdala, Israel. I think it's intensely intimate and probably the perfect rendition of what's going on here. Especially since it's hard to tell where the action is, but it's there. And it depicts her crawling through to get to Jesus' feet, to that little tassel that she knows is going to save her life. So in this moment, Jesus stopped. Who touched my robe? I can imagine the scene is almost comical, where everybody in the crowd stops and looks at him like, really? Jesus keeps looking around. At this point, I'm sure that Jairus is shuffling his feet, breathing hard and thinking, come on, let's get a move on. My daughter's sick. The trembling woman gathers the last bit of courage, falls at his feet, and tells Jesus that she touched him. Jesus' response is the most intimate part of the story. He tells her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Jesus addresses her as daughter. indicating that while she has been cured, he has also healed her by acknowledging her as family, as community. Just by these few words, this has made the woman whole, and she can live in peace. I think that the only people who have the moment to process what all this means is Jesus and the woman, because while he's still speaking to her, messengers come from Jairus' house with news no parent wants to hear. Jesus tells Jairus not to be afraid and to have faith. For the second time in the chapter, we see that fear can be redirected into something powerful. Faith has brought this woman life, and it is about to bring this little girl life again. Everyone arrives at Jairus' house and he stops the crowd, creating another intimate moment with himself, Jairus' family, Peter, James, and John, his inner circle of friends and disciples. He enters a house of mourning and responds to it by saying, "She's only asleep." According to the story, the crowd laughs, and I don't know if they came into the house after being asked to stay out, because later in the text, he has to usher them out again. I bet it even felt like a slap in the face to her parents, who can at this point only imagine what life could have had in store for her. So he takes mom and dad and the three disciples into the girl's room and tells her, "Little girl, get up. Talitha kum." He takes her hand in some versions of this text, and she immediately gets up and walks around. Again, another intimate moment in the power of touch. And then he tells them to give her something to eat. And as a nurse, I will go for that treatment any day. Always works. He tells them not to tell anybody, which I've always found confusing. But I can tell you from life experience, everyone's going to say something if you tell them not to say anything. I'm sure the news of his healing spread like wildfire after that. As a nurse, I can assure you there are many people that I care for in the hospital that have the same desperation and faith as the woman that had the bleeding. And there are too many parents hoping for a cure for their child. If Jesus were to walk through my hospital, my patients would be trying to get part of a fingertip on the hem of his garment in desperation to be cured. Many times people do get a cure, but there's also too many times when a cure is not possible. Many of you in your lives may have felt that. I certainly do feel it. In my profession, I strive to be a healer, not one who cures. It's much more valuable. Just as was much more valuable to Jesus. My calling is to bring care and wholeness to whatever situation patients may be in. Healing could mean anything from administering several antibiotics, chemotherapy, blood transfusions, the list goes on, to going to the gift shop to get my patient that one last piece of chocolate that they've been craving for before going home on hospice care. It runs the whole gamut. And I believe that wholeness and peace come when we are strived to be healed, not cured. As far as my own illness, I know there will not be a cure. But I rejoice in the fact that because of Jesus, I am healed, and I will continue to live my life as such. So today I'll leave you with one question. And I apologize, I know this has been short, but my mind is still at the hospital, as you can tell. How many times have you left a church gathering not cured but healed?
In Christ alone, our hope is found. This is our light, our strength, our song. This cornerstone, this common ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. Our Comforter, our all in all, here in the love of Christ we stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ we live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands for victory, since curse is gone and we are free, for he is ours and we are Christ, bought with his precious sacrifice. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Once we were blind, but now we see. From common ground to journey's end, Jesus commands our destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand, till he returns or calls us home. Here in the power of Christ we'll stand.
It's now time to observe the healing that Christ brings us through his death and resurrection. So I'll pray over the bread and the cup, and then whoever would like to join me to serve the bread and the cup to others may come meet me at the table. Father God, you are all-powerful, the magnificent healer in our lives, and with all of our hearts, we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made on this earth to bring us eternal life and healing. We love you, and we are glad that you invite us to the table constantly, repetitively, and accept our hearts for what they may be at this in that moment. We love your Son as we know that you loved him very much as part of yourself. In your name we pray, amen.
Help us thy name to sing. Come worship Christ the King. Alleluia, amen. Praises to him we bring. Alleluia, amen. With grateful heart and voice, before his throne rejoice. Praises his gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Come lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. Our lives on him depend. His love will never end. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia.
As you can see by Glenn standing here, we're about to take the collection. I'm going to have a prayer for the offering, and then I'm going to do family matters. And I'm dancing with the microphone. I'm sorry. Father, thank you for the blessings of today, the sermon, the caring, the wonderfulness of being able to see each other, and the wonderfulness of being able to share you. Thank you for the blessings that you give us that are more material. Please accept these that we return to you, a portion of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I think that one of the big things that happened is VBS, and I think we're going to have some pictures of VBS. We had VBS, Vacation Bible School, last Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night, and it was about compassion. It's called Compassion Camp. That's what the shirts say. We had just the right number of kids and helpers, group leaders, food fixers, food purchasers, especially snacks, food servers, teachers for the groups broken out by age, and then crafts. The first night, Sunday night, was Elijah under the tree, the angel ministering to him with water and food. That's compassion for ourselves, compassion for myself. Second night was the Good Samaritan, compassion for others. And the last night, Tuesday night, was Pentecost, compassion for the world. We learned about stained windows. I was privileged to do crafts for the youngest group. And you'll notice we have a stained window up there, and there's a stained window back there. Glass was not so important in my explanation of it. I learned so much from the crafts and from the kids. It was wonderful. In other family matters, Martha and Larry Watson have a new grandson, Noah Lee Watson. Mother, son, and family are doing fine. Hannah didn't spend very long in the hospital before Noah arrived, like minutes, moments. Martha's spending quite a bit of time with Daniel's family to help out, but everyone's here and everyone's healthy, and so that's a praise. Stu Zimmerman, that we announced, I believe, two Sundays ago, had had a stroke. He is still in rehab. They said at first he'd be in rehab for 7 days. Then they said 7 to 14. Well, the neurologist that came in to evaluate Stu after the stroke, one of the tests is how many words that begin with F or with P can you say in a minute? And I think he tested the doctor's vocabulary. So now they say, oh, you have a long way back to go. You have a lot of potential. So he's there for up to 21 days. He welcomes cards. You will send them to Judy at their home address. and we want to make it a prayer request for to support Judy and Stu and everyone who's helping Stu. Stu's evidently great at many things, but not being a patient. Sonny Glenn is coming here to pick up things on September 14th. What they have asked us to bring is Sonny Glenn, in case you don't know, is a children's home down near Harlingen. And twice a year we have an opportunity to send whatever they request. This time they've asked for toilet paper and napkins, floor cleansers. So I take it to mean things like when you mop the floor, and cereals. And you say what your favorite cereal is, and that works for them. We start bringing it whenever you're ready, like now, next Sunday, and put it in a barrel. We have a place to put it together, and they'll come and pick it up in a big truck. And we might have one more. Okay, in a little bit, we're going to have Bible classes. Excuse me, I can't read that. Preschools in the nursery. Elementary is Miss Martha's class, and it's in 108. The teens are upstairs in the teen room. Adults in 106 are dealing with the book Echoing Hope. In the library, we're doing Ezra Nehemiah. And in the auditorium, they're doing the Deuteronomic history. You are welcome in those classes, and we're going by chronological age, not the age that you act, or I'd have no one left in my class. And I think that's, show me the next slide and tell me that that's it. Okay.
As you go throughout this week, I'd just like to lay my hands on you and go with a healing attitude. Blessing from a nurse. May you have joy in everything that you encounter.
Speaker.